We are continuing to consider the pilgrim pathway. When we started out, I think you thought it was just one subject, but it turns out to be a very complex one, and it turns out to have very important additions to it all through Scripture. Consequently, we're not through yet. We have the pilgrim pathway in Proverbs to consider. Solomon adds words of wisdom now to this biblical doctrine of the pilgrim pathway. Solomon, always looking practically at things, contrasts pathways at the beginning of Proverbs. In chapter 1, he portrays the prohibited path, the path of the wicked, the way that the wicked travel away from God, downward in its orientation. He contrasts that in chapter 2 with the protected path, the path of the just. In chapter 1 of Proverbs, you notice in verse 8, he gives a solemn exhortation here, "My son, hear the instruction of thy father. Forsake not the law of thy mother." He goes on to say in verse 10, "My son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not." Notice verse 15, "My son, walk not thou in the way with them. Refrain thy foot from their path, for their feet run to evil and make haste to shed blood." Yes, the prohibited pathway. There is a path that the world takes which is a disastrous one, a path of evil, violence, sin. And here Solomon gives very solemn words of advice to the young to avoid that pathway. Unfortunately, we are living in a time when the world is trying to paint that pathway in beautiful colors. And it is a definite propaganda device that is used all the time. When on TV, for example, they are trying to sell liquor of some variety, they will always present it as a beautiful mansion with the beautiful people there, with clothes and backgrounds and such that we couldn't afford, and, of course, the product they're trying to sell. And the implication is people who have made it, people who are successful, use this. If they were really accurate, they would take you to a different ward in a hospital where the end result of using that product for many years can be found, desperately needing liver surgery and what have you. In some cases, cancer surgery. Yes, if they really were honest and accurate, it would be a very different picture. But they paint it all over and make it look good. And sometimes young people listen to these ads and look at the worldly pathway, and somehow it has a glitter to it. It has an attractiveness to it. And we've got to realize what the world is doing. It is selling a product. Now, Solomon looked very carefully at that, and he warns that path is an absolutely destructive path. That path is a degenerating path. It is a path with nothing but harm in it. And so he gives his prohibition. We should take that very seriously. In chapter 2, the contrast, dropping down to verse 6, is a path that he can commend. It is the protected path. Proverbs 2:6, "For the Lord giveth wisdom. Out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. He layeth up sound wisdom for the righteous. He is a buckler to them that walk uprightly. He keepeth the paths of judgment and preserveth the way of his saints." Now, this tells us there is something that the Lord is doing that is extremely important for us. One, he is imparting to us wisdom. He is giving to his people the wisdom that we desperately need. We know that's his will. James 1:5 invites us, "If any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not." God wants to see to it that you have wisdom. Wisdom to understand your pathway, especially. Everyone is confronted by forks in the road. Every day you must make choices. Shall it be this or shall it be that? Many times it is not clear to us which pathway is the best. Well, God knows which path is the best. God has a definite will in the matter, and He desires to impart to His people wisdom that we might choose His pathway correctly. Now, in verse 8, He keepeth the paths of judgment. That is, He is guarding these paths that are His judgment for His people. He preserveth the way of the saints. That tells us He is protecting the pathway of His saints. Now, there is no safer place for you in this world than the will of God. If you are walking down God's will for your life, if you are on His pathway, He has indeed a protection hedged about you. It is when you leave that pathway, when you go off to what looks like a better pathway, my way, and now you have left all that protection way behind, and now you're on your own. Now let's see how you sink or swim. And we've all done that before. We know the disaster that happens when we do that. Now it's sink, it's not swim. And we've all seen that reaction again and again. But you say, you know, the pathway I'm going down now is hard. Oh, yes. God's pathway is always difficult. God does not choose the easy way. He chose the way of the cross. He is not going to pick a pathway for you that will just be a downhill saunter. That is not the way He chooses. But He chooses the best pathway. He chooses the pathway that will bring the greatest blessing to you, will provide the greatest help to you and to your character. He will forge character by that pathway, and the pathway is protected. The angel of the Lord campeth round about them that love Him. He is going to see to it that your pathway is protected. In Psalm 34:7, the angel of the Lord campeth round about them that fear Him and delivereth them. Yes, again and again, the Lord delivers His people when they go down His pathway faithfully and humbly. God's presence is the real protection. The sense that in the path that you take is the Lord's presence. You are walking down a pathway not alone. If it is His pathway, you are never alone. You are walking down that pathway with Him. What a sense of peace that gives to the believer who is walking obediently and faithfully. God is here. This is the pathway. And no matter how hard it is, He is always there. His grace is always sufficient. He will protect His people. In chapter 3, if we may drop down to verse 5, Solomon says, "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths." Here is a prepared path. Yes, God protects His people, but He definitely prepares the pathway that we travel. And sometimes it's very astonishingly so. Sometimes we don't see the preparation, but it is there nonetheless. And He warns here that we should not lean to our own understanding. We've all done it. We've all looked carefully at the pathway in front of us and calculated, now this one is the most profitable way. This one is more enjoyable, or whatever we were thinking of. The other one, looks more forbidding. It's just not to my liking. But that is not necessarily God's choice at all. God prepares the way, not according to our understanding, but according to His wisdom. He knows precisely what we need. Sometimes we need correction. Sometimes we need reproof. There's all kinds of things we need, including testing, which is not pleasant. But God brings it all together when we walk His pathway, and it's prepared. In all thy ways, acknowledge Him. Yes, acknowledge Him. What does that mean? That means recognize Him, be conscious of His presence, put His will before you as something you can consciously choose. Acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths. He shall make clear which pathway is right, which one of those forks in the road you should take. He can make that very clear. But it's not something we choose when we just off the top of our head say, now that way looks best. It may look best, but it may not be. But when you choose according to His will, His pathway, it is a prepared pathway. Every step, there is a definite person waiting there to help you on that pathway. There are providential events that are there to help right at the time you need them. And it happens again and again and again. It's when we leave that pathway that we start looking around for help, and there is none. In God's pathway, it is a prepared path. In Psalm 37:23, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and He delighteth in His way. In this same chapter, Proverbs chapter 3, we also note that it is a peaceful path. Drop down to verse 13 and following. Happy is the man that findeth wisdom, the man that getteth understanding. For the merchandise of it is better than the merchandise of silver, and the gain thereof than fine gold. She is more precious than rubies, and all the things thou canst desire are not to be compared unto her. Length of days is in her right hand, in her left hand riches and honor. Her ways are ways of pleasantness, and all her paths are peace. God's wisdom is something that imparts peace to the soul. When you are responsible to choose rightly, when you have all the responsibility of pulling it off by yourself, oh, what pressure, what worry, what a good case for indigestion you are giving yourself, right? And we all know about that, the strain and the pressure when you have to do it. But when you are choosing God's will, then He has to do it. And there's peace. He will do it. He will accomplish His purpose. He will lead His saints homeward. That means you. But you have to let Him do it and submit to that kind of leading. And when you do, in the perfect submission, there is perfect peace. The strain is gone. The struggling and the striving is gone because you are following now. And it's His responsibility. If you choose His will and from the heart desire to do it, why then, that's His responsibility to see to it that you wind up at the right place. If you are doing it on your own, then you have good grounds for worry. But if He is doing it, you can walk humbly with Him. The same thing for your church. If you want God's will in this church, if you want God's blessing on this church, you don't have to seize it with both hands and wrench it into place. You can trust. God can bring His will in this church. God can accomplish His perfect purpose here. And you can rest and watch Him do it because He intends to. It's a matter of faith, and it brings perfect peace. The peace of knowing that He does all things well. Remember Paul's words in Philippians 4:6, "Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." All right. Are you concerned about something in your life? How about choosing God's pathway and letting Him do it? Are you concerned about something here in church? Is there something troubling you here at church? Well, in the first place, I hope if there is, you'll come and tell me about it. But I hope you'll also go and tell the Lord about it and ask His will and seek His purpose and then rest in peace. Peace, because God does hear. God does answer. God will accomplish His purpose. And you can rest in that. A peaceful path. It comes because you ask God. and you're confident He will answer. That's perfect peace. In chapter 4 of Proverbs, dropping down to verse 11, Solomon says, I have taught thee in the way of wisdom. I have led thee in right paths. When thou goest, thy steps shall not be straitened. When thou runnest, thou shalt not stumble. All right, it's a prosperous path. Oh, not prosperous in the sense of dollars and cents. That is not what God promises His people. And there are individuals today who are trying to make that sort of a promise. If you are in God's will, you will always be healthy. You will always be wealthy. Money will keep falling into your lap all the time. You know, they say this largely in order to tell you to send them some money so that they may truly prosper too. Do not be overly impressed by these kind of false teachers, because that's what they are. God does not promise to everyone great prosperity. We can be thankful He doesn't. In most cases, the times we have had the hardest, spiritually speaking, are times of prosperity. And in most cases, times when we have been the closest to the Lord and have walked the most faithfully with Him have been times of adversity, financial, health-wise, or whatever. When we've had difficulties, we've asked the Lord for help, and He's done so. And it's been a blessing. When the prosperity comes, we tend to forget it. Ah, now we've got what we want. Now we can go on tripping the light fantastic, eh? Yes, well, it's oftentimes fantastic, all right. And we do trip. But here, the prosperity He's talking about is the spiritual prosperity. Prospering in the Christian life. That is what it's all about. You know, one of the great joys for me is to see this spiritual prosperity. For many years, God called me to a ministry of preaching in churches, different churches, every weekend. For 25 years, I did that. And I always wondered, for those people that I preached to, and the good times that we had on that weekend or whatever happened to them? And I never had an answer to that. But it's been a tremendous blessing to me to be called here to a local church and to actually see the progress in spiritual growth and depth in the lives of you people. It's a personal blessing to me. I rejoice in it. I pray for you all. And do, year after year. I go down the lists of people who come here, not just members, and I pray for you all. And I see the spiritual progress, and I rejoice. What a blessing that is. And it's not just financial progress. No, that's immaterial. And we pray for that too. God will meet the needs, but the spiritual progress is what's important. To see answers to prayer in the lives of you folks. To see blessings in the lives of your children. To see spiritual opportunities of service arise. What a blessing this is. I rejoice in that. Spiritual prosperity. And it is God's assurance. I have led thee in the right paths. God is leading His people. He is providing the kind of guidance we need. We've got to see to it that we follow. And then He adds, when thou goest, thy steps shall not be straitened. When you walk in God's pathway, you will not find your steps dangerous. He is there to see to it you are on the solid rock. The steps will make true progress if that's His pathway. And He adds also, when thou runnest, thou shalt not stumble. Sometimes we must run. Sometimes the pathway is difficult and requires exertion. He is still there to see to it that we do not stumble. He's still talking spiritually. We may stumble physically, but we are not going to stumble spiritually if we are in His pathway, following obediently according to His will. What a comfort that is, a prosperous path. Paul comments in 2 Corinthians 4:6, God who commandeth light to shine out of darkness hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Now that surely tells us that He is illuminating our life. Day by day, more and more with His blessing, His presence, and the light of His Word. Look at Proverbs 4:18. The path of the just is as the shining light that shineth more and more unto the perfect day. You realize that's what He's promised concerning your life? It is not going to get worse and worse. It is not going to get darker and dimmer. No, it's going to get brighter. The closer you get to home, the more the light of that realm will shine in your life. The more the light of His Word will shine out upon you. The more the light of His presence will shine. Day by day, it is a shining brighter. That's what the Christian life is all about. I think some Christians feel that, you know, it's drudgery. They're just slogging along on the pathway and they're getting discouraged. Don't be that way. That pathway is a journey toward light. The light of His presence, the light of that glorious place. The light will shine more and more unto that perfect day. Before He is through with you, you will be shining like the stars. That is His promise. So do not think for a moment that the Christian life becomes darker and dimmer as the years pass. Oh, you may have physical frailties. Yes, you may get aches and pains as time goes by. Welcome to the club. God is not going to deter you. The light will shine brighter. The sense of His presence, the meaning of His Word, the sweetness of fellowship, that is what brightens. And it shines brighter and brighter toward that perfect day. When it will be an absolutely perfect sense of His presence, we will see Him face to face. We will be in the presence of our loved ones, the saints of all ages, a bond of fellowship that will be permanent and glorious, perfect in His presence. That is His purpose. The light will shine brighter and brighter. That pathway should be pursued with eagerness. It is a light that shines more and more. In verse 26 of this same chapter, Proverbs 4:26, He says, "Ponder the path of thy feet, and let all thy ways be established." It's a pondered path. Well, that's certainly one thing that we should not neglect. As we travel God's pilgrim pathway, we do not just blindly stumble onwards, but we think very carefully about where we are going and why, and how His Word marks out before us that pathway, and we ponder what we are doing. Now, there are obviously some things that we need to ponder very seriously from a spiritual standpoint. How is our prayer life prospering? Are we the kind of intercessor and prayer warrior that God wants us to be? Are there people in our fellowship who have needs and we forget to pray about that? God is not pleased at that, and that does not help our pathway. We cannot make spiritual progress by ignoring the needs of others. If we are trying to make spiritual progress in our lives, it ought to be by trying to help others, interceding for them, praying God's blessing upon them, praying God's sustaining grace upon them. There are many people in this fellowship that need your prayers. How about your own personal relationship with the Lord? Is that improving day by day and week by week? Are you closer to the Lord now than you were last year? Is there spiritual progress? It's a pondered path. We don't just keep on going and in oblivious disregard to all spiritual standards. No, we're thinking about where we are going and why we are doing this and what kind of a pathway we are walking. There are countless, quote, Christians in churches all over this country who are going into paths of compromise and betrayal because they are not pondering what they are doing. They are not considering the seriousness of the choices that they make. We must not make that mistake. We must ponder our pathway very carefully. We want to choose spiritually. We want to choose according to God's will. That means we must think prayerfully about where we are going and how we are getting there and what our relationship to God really is. Is that the most precious thing in our lives? Is His presence that thing toward which we gravitate the most? That says much about the character of believers. What is that subject that you think of when you don't have to think of anything else? What is the thing that comes to mind most readily? For some, it's material possessions or amusements or whatever. Is it the thought of God? That's spiritual progress, and it ought to be a pondered path. He urges in verse 27, "Turn not to the right hand or to the left. Remove thy foot from the evil." As we've got to be sure that we are walking that straight and narrow pathway, and we are not going to be sidetracked. We will not digress in either direction. We will stay right on the pathway. This is God's path. We walk it with Him. We are going homeward to His presence, and we will not turn aside. A pondered path. In Proverbs chapter 8, we find that it is a personal path. This is the great chapter that deals with wisdom, and wisdom is personified here. And very plainly, the Lord Jesus is made unto us wisdom, as 1 Corinthians chapter 1 tells us. He is our wisdom, and we draw our wisdom consciously from Him. And in this chapter, wisdom seems to be personified as a woman crying, appealing to men to come and heed her voice. In verse 4, "I call unto you, O men, my voice is to the sons of man. O ye simple, understand wisdom. Ye fools, be ye of an understanding heart." Appealing to men to forsake their own wisdom, to forsake their own way, and to come to the path of God. It is very evident that in verses 1 and 2, "Doth not wisdom cry, and understanding put forth her voice? She standeth in the top of high places, by the way, in the places of the paths." Yes, God's wisdom is there. But considering this is a personified figure, it's as though a person were standing there waiting to give you advice in those paths. And we know who that person is, the Lord Jesus Christ. It is not that we are following a wise pathway just by human standards. We're following a person. This is a personal pathway. It is not that the Lord marks out before you with a guide map and says, "Here's the route to glory. Just walk it." No, we're never treated that way. We have a shepherd, a personal leader, a guide every step of the way. He goes before us, and we have the privilege of following Him, and there's a personal relationship there. For many Christians, they aren't thinking in terms of a personal relationship. It's an official one, where they belong to a church. Of course they're going in a pious pathway. Now, they're going toward heaven. Of course they want to get there, not too soon, but someday. And they're not thinking in terms of that personal relationship with the Lord Jesus, that He is the shepherd now, and He cares for you now, and you can commune with Him now. It's a personal relationship with Him, not with an idea, not with an abstract path you're following, but a person who leads you. And as you walk humbly with Him, you have the chance of fellowship with Him along the pathway. Dropping down to verse 20. "I lead in the way of righteousness, in the midst of the paths of judgment." Yes, wisdom leads us always toward righteousness, never toward what is evil. The devil likes to misrepresent the truth, likes to say, "Oh, it'd be more fun to travel this pathway, be more entertaining to do this, you know, be more exciting to do this." He's always trying to get some kind of blandishments to get you off of the pathway. God's wisdom never listens to all of this. It is always, what is God's pathway? This is the pathway that we travel. It's a protection. He leads in the way of righteousness. never away from it. It is always a pathway of righteousness because He is righteous. And in the midst of paths of judgment, that is, judgment in the sense of choosing wisely, judging between alternative paths, it is God that gives direction. It is He Himself that provides that pathway before you, a personal guidance. In verse 23, I was set up from everlasting, from the beginning, or ever earth was. When there were no depths, I was brought forth. When there were no fountains abounding with water. Before the mountains were settled, before the hills was I brought forth. What is this? Yes, wisdom. God's wisdom preceded all creation. He created the universe in wisdom. And we know the Lord Jesus Christ was the embodiment of that creative power. All things were made through Him. He is the one who is wisdom. And when we seek His pathway and follow personally, we have the extreme joy of seeing one who is wisdom guiding us personally, step by step. And many times we can't see the pathway as we would like to. We walk by faith, not by sight, but we are sure His path is a path of wisdom. We are sure His path is the right one, and we have the chance to commune with Him and talk with Him as we travel that pathway. In Proverbs 12 and verse 28, in the way of righteousness is life, and in the pathway thereof there is no death. It is very evident that it's a perfect path. God's pathway is everything that we could hope. It is a pathway that leads to glory, a pathway that leads to fellowship, a pathway that leads to His person and eternal life. In His pathway, there is no death. Now, that is one of the most grievous things in modern life, that the world tempts men with pleasure, money, power, whatever. And He makes the pathway look so good, and always there's death waiting for them down that pathway. It is a leading to absolute disaster and destruction. But for God, He never leads us that way. On His pathway, there is no death. There is eternal life. No one can ever walk the path of God and be harmed. No one can ever hurt you if you are in the pathway of God's will for your life. Oh, they may desire to. They may slander you and misrepresent you. The world loves to do that. But they cannot ultimately hurt you. His grace is sufficient. You shall come out stronger and better and wiser because of all these experiences. Nothing can harm you. No weapon formed against you can prosper because it is God's pathway. It is a path that leads to life, blessing, prosperity in the highest spiritual sense, and never any detriment. The world can suggest all kinds of interesting things, and they leave you with hangovers, they leave you with all kinds of guilty consciences, and so on. God never does that with His people. He tells you this is the right way. This is the path of blessing, and there is nothing but blessing there. It's a path that leads home, a path of glory and splendor, a perfect path. Now, I need not ask you, would you like to be perfect? I'm sure you would. The believer would like very much to be over his days of stumbling into sin again. He would like very much to be over his days of concern over which path to choose, worrying over making mistakes. He would like to be in a place where everybody there was perfect and the fellowship was without a mar any place. Perfect fellowship. My friends, that's where He's leading us. We shall get there according to His word. And we've got to realize the greatness of the grace, the glory that is waiting for us at the end of that pathway. And so now, yes, it's a hard path. Yes, it's an uphill climb. Yes, we struggle to make progress. Sometimes we slip backward a little on the path. And we have to pray the Lord for more grace, more strength, more wisdom. Yes, but the path leads home. The path is His pathway. He has not failed yet. He has never lost a sheep down His pathway. There are a good many goats that go astray, but not one sheep is lost from His pathway. What a privilege, my friends, to walk that pilgrim pathway with Him. By His grace, by the enablement and keeping power that He provides to a perfect ending, there can never be a tragedy for a Christian. A tragedy is a story with a sad ending. Our lives are, in the literary sense, a divine comedy. Our lives have a happy ending, an ending of life and peace and the consummation of that perfect pathway. The shepherd becomes the king, and we dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Let's pray. O Lord, how we thank Thee for this blessed book. Forgive us, Lord, that we fail in our pathway to seek Thee and Thy presence and Thy personal blessing. Forgive us, Lord, and cleanse us from this. We pray that Thou wilt help us in our pathway, that we may travel that faithfully and humbly with Thee. Give us a sense of Thy presence, Lord, that we may follow Thy leading directly. Help us that we may walk faithfully. Give us the sense of going homeward with Thee. We pray that the light may shine brighter and brighter, Lord, as we approach Thy throne room. Let that light shine through us, that the world may see that we belong to Thee, and that Thou indeed art leading us homeward. Help us, Lord, to be good testimonies to others, that they may look upon us and tell that we have been with Jesus. Hear us now, for Jesus' sake. Amen.